Good morning, everyone. I'm very excited to be here this morning to talk to you all about tenofovir vaginal microbicide gel. And also, as Maggie mentioned, I also wanted to acknowledge my colleague David Kulik, who's a fellow student, he was really the main creator of this presentation, and I'm going to be presenting it on his behalf. Throughout the past year, there's been a lot of conversation in the HIV/AIDS community about microbicides and about tenofovir microbicide gel in particular, and their potential to become effective tools in preventing the spread of HIV. In this presentation, I'll explain what tenofovir microbicide gel is, some of the positive research results that are coming out showing regarding its efficacy, and then I'll touch on some of the broader, more sociocultural issues that are surrounding the future use of tenofovir gel as an effective HIV prevention strategy. But before I dive in, I first wanted to just give a quick lesson in microbicides 101 so we can all be clear on what exactly microbicides are and what they do. Microbicides can be defined as biomedical HIV prevention products, most of which are targeted for female use and thereby preventing infection only in females. Currently, researchers are developing and testing microbicides in a variety of forms, including gels, such as tenofovir, foams, and slow-release rings, all of which are demonstrated in that image there. The image showing the white applicator, that white applicator is the tenofovir gel, which I'll be talking about today. It's comprised of an applicator which excretes a small amount of microbicide gel into the vagina, which works to prevent the HIV virus from attaching to human cells. And also I wanted to mention that all microbicide products currently are in their research and development phase and not available to the public. Tenofovir gel is a leading microbicide product which has given hope to many in the microbicide field because of the groundbreaking results yielded from this trial, the CAPRISA clinical trial, which came out in 2010. CAPRISA was a phase 2b trial that took place in South Africa that tested the effectiveness of tenofovir gel versus a placebo in reducing HIV infection in women. During the trial, the gel was applied vaginally within 12 hours before and after sexual intercourse, which is using a dosing strategy known as BAT24. And the results that came out were exciting and unprecedented, in fact. Researchers found a 39% reduction in HIV infection among the women using the gel. And furthermore, unexpectedly, they found also a risk reduction in genital herpes. And since the presence of genital herpes actually increases a person's risk of acquiring and transmitting HIV, this risk reduction in genital herpes also has huge implications for reducing levels of HIV in a population. The CAPRISA results were a milestone in HIV prevention research because they provided the first proof of concept that a microbicide product could actually reduce the risk of HIV. However, on the flip side, many are asking questions around whether 39% protection is enough for the product to be considered a success. Questions abound around whether the use of a so-called partially protective products such as this could offer users a false sense of security, or they could potentially deter couples from using condoms, which are actually nearly 100% protective against HIV. So you could also say that the CAPRISA results started raising a lot of questions around how good is good enough for a microbicide. And as you're all well aware, one clinical trial is not all that it takes to get a product onto the shelves. So confirmatory research is underway to ensure that the CAPRISA results are both reliable and generalizable to other populations, such as adolescents, pregnant women. Also, the possibility for microbicides to be used rectally is of considerable interest in terms of providing protection to men who have sex with men. Also, different dosing strategies will be examined in an attempt to determine exactly how many hours before and after sexual intercourse the gel should be applied in order to produce maximum protection. The VOICE trial, which is a clinical trial also taking place in South Africa, is one of these confirmatory studies that's currently underway. And many are hoping that the results from this trial will confirm what COMPRESA showed. These results are to be released in 2013. So this is just something to keep an eye on in the next couple of years for updates. Another key concept in microbicide development is the issue of empowerment, and specifically a woman having the ability to protect herself against HIV. Unfortunately, women around the world don't always have the ability to abstain from sex or encourage their partner to use a condom, which is why there's a strong desire for a woman-initiated product, such as a microbicide gel, to be available for women so that they can protect themselves against HIV. The Population Council acknowledges that a woman's lack of women's lack of power in sexual decision-making leads to a decision that does not involve the female partner, meaning that many women around the world are virtually helpless to protect themselves if they want to. In many countries in sub-Saharan Africa, the culture of violence against women further increases a woman's vulnerability to HIV. 27.4% of male interviewees in South Africa reported committing rape in the past year. Whether it's because of the threat of violence or the cultural expectations of a female partner, women in many cases cannot refuse sex with their husbands. The great thing about microbicides is that they can be controlled completely by women and could be used without their partner's knowledge. The image here shows the contrast between the bulkiness of the female condom to the rather inconspicuous drop of microbicide gel, which is hopefully proving to be more user-friendly to women. There is evidence that women want more control over their bodies when it comes to HIV prevention, and that they would like a prophylaxis option that offers them more secrecy from their partner. Here you can see all of the encouraging statements that came out in the press after the COMPRESA results came out. But I wanted to point out that in spite of the biomedical breakthrough that the COMPRESA study was, there are significant barriers in converting these study results into an actual effective product. And one of the topics I find most interesting are the sexual and cultural norms that exist around the world and how they play into microbicide use. One issue which I find many people are not aware of is the idea that there are different levels of vaginal wetness that are appropriate in different cultures, particularly throughout sub-Saharan Africa. And this fact could be problematic in terms of microbicide use because the use of a vaginal gel could actually provide wetness that is not desired by either the female or male partner. It's in fact very common for dry sex to be preferred by male partners, and also, unfortunately, excessive levels of vaginal wetness are often associated with infidelity on the part of the female, and that can often result in negative consequences for a woman. And it's for that reason that women go to great lengths in some cultures to use things like herbs and soaps to keep themselves dry. Another issue that some populations is they may fear using an applicator. For example, 47% of women in Sao Paulo have never used a tampon, citing fear as their primary reason. Another potential reason for women not to embrace the use of tenofovir gel is for religious reasons. Muslim women interviewed in South Africa found the idea of a vaginal microbicide to be in conflict with their ethical ideal of marriage. Unfortunately, notable gender disparities exist in many of the areas where microbicides are needed most. So the idea that tenofovir can be this empowering tool for women is wonderful in theory, but in fact it may be undermined by the fact that there is suppressive gender relations in a lot of these environments. For example, while males show a preference to vaginal microbicides over condoms, they don't want the product to actually increase lubrication, and the majority of men would prefer to be involved in the decision-making process. And both of these facts could likely hinder a woman's ability to use a microbicide gel without their partner's knowledge. Okay. Great. So here we're seeing a lot of behaviors that induce fear and intimidation toward women in a sexual context. And what that means for microbicide use is basically that a microbicide cannot be female controlled if females don't control their own sexual behaviors. And this is a serious issue that will have to be considered if and when programs are developed to promote the use of microbicides. So moving forward then, given that tenofovir is shown to be effective in clinical trials, what now needs to be done to convert this product into an effective HIV prevention strategy? And how can tenofovir be marketed for use given its partial effectiveness quality? One crucial issue is to create demand for the product. And in order to do so, women need to trust in the efficacy of the product. There should be comprehensive HIV education available to people so that they can understand the benefits and potential drawbacks of using a microbicide gel. There should also be guidance available on how to physically use the gel, for instance, how to insert the applicator and when to apply it. This is a visual that shows how elements of partner acceptability and social acceptability ultimately come together to influence the female's perception of a microbicide product. Meaning, basically, that in order to achieve use by females, the product needs to be acceptable to men, women, and society as a whole. And finally, I'll leave you with some of the many unanswered questions that public health experts, such as yourselves, will likely be grappling with in the coming years related to product, cost, and accessibility of microbicide products. First of all, is the product what people want? Or perhaps it's just what we think they should want. Is the product inconspicuous? Or perhaps it's too obvious to the female partner. Is it easy to use and store? And here we would consider things like the need for refrigeration or the shelf life of the product. Is there a cost to customers for the product? And is it affordable to those who will be needing it most? Regarding accessibility, we need to consider whether it will be available in a way that people could discreetly purchase the gel, because as we know, stigma around HIV is also a huge issue. So as you've seen, there are still many unresolved issues regarding how to most effectively develop and market tenofovir microbicide gel. So I hope that this presentation has sparked some level of interest or intrigue, and that you'll stay tuned for upcoming developments in microbicide research as they unfold. Thank you.